Podium Publishing presents Proxima Rising, Book 1 of Proxima, written by Brandon Q. Morris, performed by Eduardo Ballerini. Chapter 1. January 1st of Year 1. My name is Dmitry Marchenko. I am on board Messenger, mankind's first interstellar spaceship. The ship moves through the vacuum of space at 1/5 the speed of light, powered by an enormous amount of energy, with no engine and no need for one. I woke today according to plan at 0:00:00 All systems of Messenger are functioning in the intended ranges. The star tracker, which orients itself based on the position of the stars nearest to us, reports the flight is going according to plan. The solar system in which I was born is located 200 trillion kilometers from our current position. The light of my home star, the Sun, takes 3 years to cover this distance. But before this moment's solar rays reach us, we will have covered yet another 1/5 of a light year. Currently, Messenger has a length of about 10 centimeters, and it looks like an extremely thin needle. At the tip, which points toward the goal of the journey, the diameter is only a few micrometers. This lowers the risk of being hit by a dust particle from the interstellar medium, which would endanger the mission. At least, right now. This will soon change. My lodging aboard this vessel is a chip made of carbon nanotubes. These tiny structures function like semiconductors, but they are immune to cosmic radiation. I am an AI, an artificial intelligence. At least those left behind on Earth classify me this way, even though my core consists of the consciousness of a real human being, a Russian cosmonaut and doctor. I have gained an enormous amount of knowledge, but I am still Dmitry Marchenko. I have the same feelings as he, dream his dreams, and shed tears over his lost love. Of course, I cannot actually shed tears. My capabilities are limited. I can watch and listen to my surroundings because the sensors of the spaceship act as my eyes and ears. They capture energy patterns in the X-ray and gamma-ray ranges. They listen to radio frequencies, and they see 100 times farther into the universe than a human eye ever could. The cosmos is magnificent. That was my first impression today, right after waking. It is like being awakened by birds singing directly outside your open window. There are even sounds here. A giant wave is moving through the Perseus cluster, and I can perceive its pressure differentials as sounds. No piano could ever play such sounds, and no human ear could possibly hear them. Such perceptions will save me from loneliness, I hope. I must admit that loneliness is my greatest fear. On the other hand, I will not remain alone during the entire voyage. There is a reason I was awakened today, on this first day of a new era, as our Creator decreed. In the thicker middle section of Messenger, there is a kind of pouch containing tardigrades, also known as water bears, in an inactive state. The coldness of space, the radiation, the enormous span of time. None of these bother the sleeping tardigrades. They accompany me because this is the most efficient and safest way known for transporting Messenger's extremely valuable cargo. Adam and Eve. The complete genetic codes of these two passengers have been inscribed into the tardigrade's DNA. When Adam and Eve finally awake, I will be their father, nurse, friend, and teacher. Chapter 2. January 2nd of Year 1. During the past months, which I had spent asleep, the interstellar dust was our enemy. If a particle larger than an atom had hit Messenger, I would probably have never awakened. Yet from now on, the sparse material filling the enormous space between the stars will be a friend. Messenger is starting to gather matter. While we have only covered 3/4 of the distance to our destination, we must start decelerating now, in order to avoid shooting past it at high speed. Messenger has no engine to use for acceleration or deceleration.